So, dear friends in Christ, my family wasn't Lutheran growing up. I was the first of our three boys in the Whitby household. I was the first confirmed in the Lutheran faith in 1982. After confirmation, I went on to high school. I went to a Roman Catholic high school, and I was an outspoken little Lutheran at the Roman Catholic high school. And the year that I graduated, the order of nuns that had founded the high school, they commissioned each department that they could give a special award, a medallion with the school seal, to one of the outstanding students in their department. All of the priests and friars voted, and they elected me as the outstanding religion class student among the Roman Catholics. I went to Concordia, well, back then it was Concordia College in River Forest, in the pre-sem program. I graduated with high honors. At the seminary, I was one of the Reverend Marvin E. Kuhlman homiletic fellows. That meant that there was some pastor's family who paid a bunch of money so that a bunch of seminaries could learn a little bit more about preaching. They usually selected the guys they thought, well, let's polish the guys that seem to have a little bit of glitz for preaching. From 2009 to 2013, I served as the national pastoral counselor for the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Now, I got to tell you, right at this point, modesty and the desire to not have the sermon end abruptly forbid me from climbing higher. But let me ask you, from this vantage point, as I stand on my own accomplishments, do any of you really think that I'm that much closer to eternal life than you? I mean, I get it. If I fall, I'll probably wind sprint to heaven, right? But am I closer than you? Am I any really, you know, kind of there more than you are? And I see that just rightly shaking. No. You see, this kind of stuff, this confidence in oneself, that's what Paul was warning about in the epistle reading today. You see, in Paul's day, there was a group of folks going around to the early Christian church. We called them Judaizers. And this is what they were teaching. They were Christians, kinda, and this is what they taught. They said, look, you can go and believe that Jesus stuff, that's good. But if you really want to be confident that you're saved, if you really want to be confident that you're going to heaven, then what you've got to do is submit to the law of Moses and obey that. And chiefly what they were concerned about was that men submit to the rite of circumcision. Because you see, if you were circumcised, that was a sign of the covenant. And if you were circumcised, it would be a pretty good chance that you'd be willing to obey the rest of the covenant as well. So they figured if you did that, that would be a mark of your righteousness. And then you could start building your works that would make you then worthy of having eternal life. Paul warns against it. He says, if anyone has reason to have confidence in the flesh, I have more. He would say, I've been circumcised on the eighth day. That's when Moses commanded it. That he was a Hebrew among the Hebrews. He could trace his family lineage back all the way to the tribe of Benjamin. Most Jewish people in Paul's day could not do that, trace their family line back to just one tribe. He could. Those were the things that he inherited from his family. And then he went on in his deeds. He would say that in zeal, he was a Pharisee. Now, for us, the Pharisees kind of get the rap of being kind of villains in the New Testament. But for Paul's day, they were the people that were trying to be moral, good and upright people. They wanted to obey the law of God. In fact, they wanted to do it so much that they invented other laws related to the law of God to make sure that they obeyed those laws too, just to kind of cover their bases. Paul was a Pharisee among the Pharisees. He would say that also then in persecution, there was this group running around saying that there was this one guy who was God in the flesh. He was sure that was wrong, and so he started persecuting the early church to uphold the law of Moses. He would say under that law, he was blameless. Paul could have stacked his ladder way taller and higher than mine. And yet, what does he say? He says for the sake of knowing Christ, he'd count all that as a loss. Even the good stuff about it was a loss. In fact, he'd go even further. He'd say he counted all that as rubbish. And that's a really sweet, kind word. Do you know what Paul really wrote? He didn't write rubbish. He wrote that stuff that you'll find at the bottom of your shoe that stinks. That's what he really wrote. He said, I count it all as that kind of rubbish. Do you know why? Because when you're up here, when you're on your stack of good works, whether it be mine or all the stuff that you would stack up, whether it be your talents or abilities, the skills God's given you, the good deeds that you've done, when you get about this high up, do you know what you find? You find just yourself. That's all that's up here right now with me, just me. And do you think I really should rely on just me for eternal life? Do you think that's wise? No, because you know what I'm not finding up here? I don't find Jesus. Jesus isn't up here standing on my good works. Where is he? You know, and you might say, well, Pastor, he's way higher than you. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Thank God. You're right. He's there. But for your sake and mine, you know where he went? For your sake and mine, we say it every week, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. That means he took on your flesh and mine. And when he took on human flesh, he was then born of the Virgin Mary. And as he was born of the Virgin Mary, that meant that he was going to live a life here. And he lives that life perfectly, without sin for you and for me, obeying God's law in our stead without any wrongdoing. Then, even further, as the one who did no wrong, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. How did he suffer? He was falsely accused. He was accused of claiming to be God when he wasn't God. He was God. It wasn't a lie. He was accused of rebelling against Caesar. He wasn't rebelling against Caesar. He was ushering in the kingdom of God. And in that false trial where he was mocked and beaten, he's brought up before Pilate and a death sentence is given. You see, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified. And as he dies on the cross, he's dead and buried. You see, do you know where Jesus is? He's not just up in heaven. He comes down to this place. This place of rubbish. And that's where he finds me. That's where he finds you. And our family, and our friends, and our neighbors. And out of love for us, he descends from on high. And as he goes the way of Golgotha, he now will use the word and we'll keep it clean because we're talking about our Savior. He allows himself to be treated as rubbish. Because that's how he cleans up you and me. You see, we're found in him. That's baptism language that Paul is talking about. We're baptized into Christ's name. We're baptized into that death of his on the cross. We're baptized into his resurrection. You see, he comes in word and sacrament and he finds you and me and he cleans us up of all of the rubbish that would stick to us and stench us. Of every failure that's ours, of every time that I've had to have or thought I had to have confidence in my own good deeds. He cleans us from that. He lifts us from it. And doesn't it make sense that that's the price of our confidence in salvation? It's the life of our Savior. I mean, isn't that really kind of, I mean, doesn't it make sense to you? I mean, think about it. Use your imagination for a minute. How many of us would be, let's say, standing right there at Golgotha and the Heavenly Father is standing there staring at what his son just did to get you and me out of the rubbish heap of our life? And how many of us would have the boldness of kind of tugging on the Father's robes and saying, well, yeah, Lord, that's nice, but look, I was a homiletics fellow. How many of you would do that? Yeah, or how many of us would say like, oh, well, you know, that's nice, Lord, but look what I did. I mean, I sat bored hour after hour in your house on Sundays. Or, you know, look what I did. Well, I gave a tenth of all that I have. Okay, all that I earned. Okay, all that I earned after taxes. Okay, well, sometimes on certain months, maybe 5% of all that I had, or maybe 2%. Is there anything that we want to stack up and say that I'm going to be confident in that? And don't get me wrong. It's good to have confidence in ourselves when we're going for a job interview. It's good to have confidence in ourselves when we're trying to raise kids. But to have confidence in what your eternal life is, may we, like Paul, say all that, even the good stuff about me, let me count it as a loss. Let me count that as rubbish compared to having a righteousness not of my own, but a righteousness that comes by faith in my Savior, in what Jesus has done for me, and having a hope of being found in Him. Because you see, having that confidence, knowing that truth, that gives me then that hope of life everlasting, that gives me then also hope in this day and in this hour as well. That I might suffer along with my Lord down here in this place of rubbish, knowing that He's with me. That I might even conform to the image of His death. Because you see, when Christ came down and suffered and died, it was for the benefit of others. For you, for me. And now, what an honor to know that I can bear that fruit of faith in my life that you can as well. That we would suffer along with our Lord in this place that is filled with rubbish. That we'd suffer when we trust that Savior and we know that the world around us would say, what you trust is foolishness, and yet we cling to it in joy because we know that it honors our Lord. That we'd suffer right along with Him to say, Lord, if it costs me something that a friend or a neighbor might get to know you, well, then let me sacrifice my time or my talents or my resources that someone else would know you and it would be worth it. I'd suffer that. Lord, let me be one who suffers along with you when someone sins against me and I don't go looking for their comeuppance. But instead, I lean on your grace and I speak words of forgiveness to them. In fact, when we're forgiving of a friend or a family member or neighbor, I assure you there you are the most Christ-like you can be in this fallen world. Because you're saying they're rubbish, you're going to count it against Christ's cross. And you're going to see them clean in Him. Just like He sees you. Paul would say, let me suffer along, conforming to the image of Christ's death, that in some way I might then also conform to the image of His resurrection. Not that He has it yet, Paul would say. He's still in this world, in this fallen place. We would say the same. But he would say, I press on toward that, forgetting what's behind me, whether it be my good works and my sin. I press on to win the goal. Well, exactly how did he say it? It's so beautiful. He said, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we get to press on as well. Not by climbing our ladders of good works, but by leaning wholly into the grace of Christ. We await that upward call in Him as well. And you'll hear it. You know you'll hear it one day, right? When you do, it will sound like the blast of an angel's trumpet. It will sound like your Savior speaking with a voice that sounds like the rush of many waters. And do you know what He will say to you in that call? He will say, now you get up. Get up from sin and death. Get up from the grave and get up higher, higher than any ladder you could climb, higher than any good works you could stack up for yourself. Come to my right hand and enjoy the kingdom I prepared for you for eternity. That's the upward call. You will hear it. Why? Because your Savior is here with you now in this rubbish-filled world, giving you His grace. And just as assuredly, He gives you life everlasting. Of that in Him, you can be confident. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, and thank you for your prayers at the start of the sermon.